Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 16 today, and you probably agree that it's a perfect day for a mictum. Wait, what's a mictum? You don't know? Well, it's straight from the title, A Mictum of David. We don't have an exact English translation of the word, but it can be translated to mean one of three things. Number one, a jewel or something precious. Number two, something dug for, or three, something hidden. Psalm 16, though, seems to be talking about all three. The more you dig for its hidden riches, the more it rewards you with precious gems. Each verse in Psalm 16 is its own treasure, and the deeper you go, the more you're rewarded. If you've ever had a friend that you see from across the room and they smile, wink, or nod at you to let you know they see you, this is how this psalm has always turned up in my life, to let me know God is there. And David needed to know God was there for him in verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. That's the theme of the entire psalm right there. David has taken refuge in God, not just in a particular circumstance, but for his entire life. Here, David is banking on God. He's putting all of his eggs in one basket. He's placed the entirety of his life in God, his dreams, goals, aspirations, and hopes. He's bet all of his money on God, trusting it will pay off. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. Let's look at verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can you say this? I mean, really say this? Because until you can, you'll keep trying to find good outside of God. But David says, Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I remember my friend's dog running away all the time. They were good owners. They fed the dog, loved the dog, and gave it a fantastic life. But the moment that gate or front door was open, that dog bolted, convinced that something better lay on the other side of that door. How long has it taken us to be convinced that there is no good for us outside of God? David looks at those who get it, others who value God as their treasure too. And in verse 3 and 4 says, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take their names on my lips. David feels a deep kinship to those who take delight in God, and he delights in them. But then he sees those who are running after other gods and notes that instead of being satisfied like he is, they'll just suffer more and more. Those that run after other gods will suffer more and more. Back to my friend's dog that used to bolt outside that day. There was a day he bolted out the door into the street and right under the front tire of a car. He lived, but he couldn't really run after that. Skippy couldn't skip anymore. Unlike Skippy, God doesn't want you to get hurt before you get convinced that God is all you need. Verse 5, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. There are benefits to valuing God above all else. David says, you make my lot secure. And by lot, he means my everything. He says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. What does David mean when he talks about the boundary lines? Think of a piece of land. It's where you live. It's everything you own within that boundary. And here, it's a picture for David's entire life. I picture David looking around, counting his blessings, and saying, life is good. It's been good. As long as I stay close to God, it's probably going to be good. In other words, David has a satisfied mind. That reminds me of another song by Bob Dylan, a cover of an old blues song called A Satisfied Mind, and the lyrics go like this. How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I'd do things my way. But little they know it's so hard to find one rich man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed of to get a start in life's game. But suddenly it happened. I lost every dime. But I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. When my life is over and my time is run out, my friends and my loved ones, I'll leave there, no doubt. But one thing for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. It wasn't about what David had. It was about who he had. That was the secret to his satisfied mind. Like Paul, able to say, I have learned the secret of contentment in any and every situation. David and Paul both had the Lord. You alone are my portion and my cup. They could say that. He was all they needed. Can we say that? Listen to the benefits of being able to in verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, his heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. In God, David has his guidance. It's unshakable. He rejoices. He rests secure. That's what it feels like when God is your refuge. But then, David goes further than anything in life and speaks of something even greater after death. Verse 10. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. David believes in a resurrection here. David did see decay, and his bones did lay in dust, yet David knows he will not be abandoned to the realm of the dead. David's soul is in heaven with Christ right now today. But when Christ returns, his body will be resurrected and join his soul. But David isn't really speaking of himself here. No, he's speaking of the best thing that God has to offer, the ultimate benefit of putting your trust and portion in God alone. He's speaking of Jesus. By the way, we know this because this verse is used repeatedly in the New Testament about Jesus, and as a fulfillment of this verse, a prophecy of Jesus. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. The Holy One was a term for the Messiah. And because Christ rose from the dead, says Paul, so will we. So if Christ is risen, we will be too, because God did not abandon his Holy One to the realm of the dead. And neither will he abandon us either. In this sense, this psalm is a mictum, a hidden jewel, something you have to dig for a bit. A treasure hidden under the surface. In verse 11, David comes back to the here and now. You make me to know the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. To quote the famous Welsh hymnist William Williams Penn, Jesus is greater than his blessings. He's greater than his grace. Any benefit you can find, Christian, it all comes back to him. The path of life is only great because you share it with him. And David has found his pot of gold here at the end of the rainbow. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. My friend, what do you do with that? Look around today, take stock of your life and say to yourself, I am content. I have a satisfied mind. The boundaries have fallen to me in pleasant places.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.